Well, good morning to everyone. Thoroughly enjoyed listening in to the Sunday school lesson this morning. So many just critical and vital lessons for us as believers of Christ and sons and daughters of the Most High God to stay vigilant to understanding God's word and being close to Him in the sense of always putting Him first and seeking Him first and remaining close and intimately involved in His word and the covenant that we have with Him as believers, understanding the foundation of our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So thoroughly enjoyed that Sunday school lesson today. So we talked about, you know, false prophets and false teachers and understanding that it is our communing with God, knowing the shepherd's voice. So we're not tricked and fooled or deceived by wolves in sheep's clothing or be deceived by any kind of fleshly or materialistic mindset that sometimes drives our flesh and our human nature ways, and being more spirit-minded and spirit-led in everything that we do and say is so critically important for us. So I thank y'all for y'all's participation in that today. And I want to bring a word today and kind of tie in a little bit of what was taught and that we learned in Sunday school today in regards to false prophets, but understanding the importance of the wisdom and understanding that we get from God, and as opposed to the deception and lies that come from false prophets. So we get the truth, we get the way that we should be and the things that we should do through God's word and through the guidance and, of the Holy Spirit. So it is that wisdom of God. It is in that discernment that we learn how to operate in this worldly realm that we live and breathe in. You know we are spiritual beings, but we live in a world, a physical world, that we come into contact with people and with spirits on a daily basis that we have to rightly discern and understand. I think y'all talked about when people come in or knock on the door, you have to know whose spirit is trying to come in. And we are given guidance through understanding what God would have us to do and to be. We get guidance and understanding through understanding that, you know, the more and more time that I spend with God, the more I understand and know what He has called for me to be and to do in life. So we're going to talk about getting wisdom and getting understanding. And let me open up with a word of prayer. Father God, thank You for this blessed day. Thank You, Father God, for this blessed time and occasion for us to come together as a body of believers to hear from You and Your word, what You'd have us to do and to be. Help us, Father God, to be obedient, diligent to the calling that You have placed on our lives individually and collectively as a church body. Help us to do Your will in all that we do and say. As I bring this word today, none of me and all of you, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight. For You are my Lord and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, I want to give you five scriptures today that we're going to hit on. Our main scripture text will come from Proverbs, because we're talking about wisdom. So we'll look at Proverbs 4, pretty much the whole chapter, and go through chapter 5, verse 2. So Proverbs 4 through chapter 5, verse 2. We'll also touch on Job 28:28, Proverbs 23,
and 7. First part of that. Isaiah 55. And we'll look at verses 8 and 9. And we'll start off this morning by going to John 14 and looking at verse 6. So we understand that getting wisdom and getting understanding is a call and a charge that God has placed on us as believers. To get wisdom and get understanding.
Right.
We know that's from Proverbs 4 and 7. Getting wisdom and with all thy getting, get understanding. Amen. And what we have to understand about wisdom is that it is his perspective. God's wisdom is his discernment about all things. Understanding is an approach, it's an action. And I'm going to go in and break down the differences and how they both work together. But getting wisdom and getting understanding is about God's way, his perspective, his approach, how he views situations, how his principles are actually applied. That's the action side of our God. So it's a mindset and it's an action. It's a thought process and it's an application. Amen. In understanding, there's two systems that are operating. You know, God's way and then the world's system, the world's way of doing things. And we have a choice. He said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. You're going to serve God, or you're going to serve the world, or you're going to serve, you know, the enemy, basically. In the sense of, whose direction are you going to take? When you wake up each day, whose directions, whose perspective are you going to take on things in life? Whose principles are you going to follow? Man's way or God's way, right? And what is so fascinating about God, God's way is singular. And let's be clear about that. When I say God's way is singular, it's that John 14 and 16, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's not many ways. There's only one way to God, right? Through Jesus, right? So there's not many lanes or paths we can go. He made it very clear that his way is very singular. I want you to understand that my son is the only way to me, is what God is saying. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. There's no other, everything else outside of him is a lie, right? And he is the life. He's the only way you're going to have eternal life is through him. Any other way is death and destruction, right? So John 14 and 16, Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except what? Through me. There are no other means, no other avenues you can take. So what is fascinating and how that contrasts the way the world is, the world will try to make it like there's so many different avenues and different ways to succeed and be happy in life. And the way God allowed me to see the picture, I wish I could have an illustration of it. I would draw it out on the board to where when you walk through that door of the way God operates, it's a single door for he wants you to walk through. But when you walk through that door, you have abundance of life. There's so many things to enjoy by walking through that one door. Amen. But the way the world operates, it's like the world will give you many doors. It's like you go through all these doors, you can go whatever your flesh or whatever your mind desires, just go through that. Go through that. Just look to whatever you're going to enjoy, whatever you're going to like. You want pizza, you want coffee, you want cake, you want whatever makes you feel good. Go through that. But all those different avenues lead to death and destruction, right? So you have all those many doors, but they go to, you don't get anything out of them. Once you go through any of those other doors, it leads to one path of hell and destruction. Amen. So God's way is the way, right? God's truth is the truth. God's life is true life. Amen. So the opposite of that is being wayward in our journey of life, living a life through lies instead of truth, and not really truly existing. I mean, not truly living, but just existing, which is death. Because if you are not operating in the things that God has called you to do and to be, you're basically the walking dead. Amen. So we have to understand the way of God. Not ways, but the way of God. Very vast, and to our human minds, very complex, yet is very narrow and simple. Complex in regards to our human understanding and our human comprehension, but yet simple enough for a child to understand. Amen? Children, we know, as we raise them, they simply accept what you tell them. Because more times than not, their minds have not adopted a fleshly way of thinking until they start learning different things about the world and about life and start wanting to question why. You know, that's the first thing they just do. Then they say, well, why do I need to do it this way? Why do that fleshly mind starts to want understanding in the sense of let me rationalize my decisions as opposed to just trusting what this parent or this guardian is telling me to say. So God wants us to trust him completely and wholeheartedly. And there are things that we will be revealed and we will understand. And then there's things that will be just beyond our comprehension that we have to rely on our faith and our trust in him. So why does things have to be this way? Because God is who he is. God is God. And I might not understand or know or have all the answers, but I know and I trust God. Amen? And that becomes what centers you and grounds you. And with the enemy and the way the world acts is always trying to go beyond that. Adam and Eve in the garden, they wanted to, it wasn't for them to be eat from the tree of knowledge and understanding, right? God had created a utopia for them just to enjoy. The enemy says, no, you need to understand, you need to know the difference between good and evil. And God's like, well, why? If I'm, all I am is good. That's all they need to know. Amen? So it is our fleshly ways that gets us in trouble. Y'all talked about that in Sunday school about pride, where pride will leave you, with selfish ways and self-reliance will lead you down that path. But we have to understand that we serve a God whose ways are so beyond us. And if you don't reverence that, you'll start to rely on yourself, or you will start relying on some other person, a false prophet or a false teacher or something else. So we see in Isaiah 55, I refer to that one, looking at verse 8 and 9. Isaiah 55 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen? So, God's ways, understanding that his ways are higher than my ways, and being humble enough, I think Sister Kimberly talked about that word, being humble enough not to think that we know better or can think better than God. He has explained and laid it out in his word that his ways are higher than our ways. In our thoughts. And the critical nature and part of our thinking or our thoughts, tell you how crafty the enemy is. He tries to get where? Into our mindsets. So if he can get into our mindsets of how we perceive and think about things, our thoughts and our mindsets starts to dictate what? Our actions. Amen. God says, you know, how one thinks, you know, as a man thinketh, I think that's a Proverbs 23:7 I gave y'all, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. How one thinks is the precursor to how one acts. You get your thoughts and your thinking in order and in line with God, and your actions will follow. Amen. So that's the importance of understanding why we have to keep ourselves in a humble state of reverencing God. Acknowledging God is the Alpha and the Omega of everything. He's the author and the finisher of everything that we do and say. Amen? Job 28:28 says, "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding." Right? So therein lies with Proverbs 4:7 saying, get wisdom, get understanding. Okay, so get wisdom, get understanding. Let's look at Job 28:28. He says, "The fear of the Lord, that's wisdom." So that's something I'm supposed to get. We've been instructed that in Proverbs. Get wisdom. So the fear of the Lord, that's what I need to get. I need to reverence God. That's wisdom. I got to reverence him. And then Job says in that verse 28, to shun evil is understanding. So in all thy getting and all that wisdom, I need to understand, I need to stay away from what's evil. Shun evil is understanding, right? So that means I need to avoid, I need to reject, I need to ignore evil things. That's understanding. Wisdom is reverencing God, and understanding is staying away from evil. Right? By reverencing God, by respecting his word, by abiding in it, by meditating on it day and night, staying away from evil is really about not giving in to the enemy or your own ways, your own knowledge, your own perspectives, having or wanting to know everything for yourself. We are not God. Let me say that again. We are not God. Adam and Eve got into trouble by not being content in all that God had blessed them with and desiring to be like him by wanting to know everything that he knew. They wanted to put themselves on his levels, with the enemy was crafty enough to get them to think like. You say, you need to know as much as he knows. You need to be on his same playing field. So his ways are not higher than yours. His ways are equal to yours. That's what he's trying to get them to think. That's that worldly mindset of not wanting to remain humble and content that God is above you. There are things we are not going to know or ever figure out or understand on this side. Amen. And church, I'm okay with that. I don't have to know everything. I trust God in his wisdom and what he allows and doesn't allow. I trust God. Amen. God understands all the happenings of life. We're not going to understand all of it because we can't figure it out or understand on this side of things. We just have to grow to the point of trusting him past our own understanding. Amen. Otherwise, we'll fall victim to the deep hole of despair, the deep hole of envy, the deep hole of jealousy or bitterness and depression. All those things follow because you will never be able to figure it all out. And that's all the enemy wants to do, is frustrate you to the point of being either envious, jealous, or bitter. And which all leads to depression. All of that, you just get more further and far. So if he can get you into that web of lies, in that God wants you to have an abundant life, then he can pull you down a direction of keeping you from doing what God has called you to do and to be while you are here. Amen. That is exactly where the enemy wants you to be. Because in that state of being, in that place in your mind, and in that existence, you are not in any state of being productive for the kingdom of God. If he can keep you jealous, envious, bitter, or depressed, those things are going to keep you from being any kind of effect for the kingdom of God. Amen? You won't be productive at all. Right? So let's look at our main text in Proverbs chapter 4. I want to go through these verses fairly quickly, but we're going to pull out some wisdom and understanding in this. So we look at Proverbs 4, and I'm going to read from the King James. It says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. What did we say that was? Wisdom was fearing God, reverencing God. And he said, getting understanding, shunning, getting away from evil. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, love wisdom, and she shall keep thee. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. So what is that saying? When I say wisdom is the principal thing, that means reverencing God is the principal thing. If you don't reverence God, you're going to fall victim to your own ways or the world's ways. Wisdom is the principal thing. Reverence God. And therefore, get wisdom, reverence him, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And again, church, I'm trying to get us to understand that understanding is the application of what we got. We got wisdom. I reverence God. Now I need to apply. I need to show actions to show that I know how to stay away from doing evil things and speaking evil things. I know how to stay away from it. Now God knows, okay, now you got understanding because you're not acting the way the world acts. You're not acting foolish. You're acting in the wisdom of God. Now your actions are lining up with your obedience of reverencing me. Amen? So the principal thing is wisdom. Now, in understanding what that means, in essence, reverencing, acknowledging, honoring, respecting God is number one. That's the mindset we have to have. I reverence God, therefore I acknowledge him as all-knowing, all-being. He is supreme, he's the ultimate, he's sovereign. Now, the application of that knowledge is understanding. Because he's all-knowing, because he knows more than me, because he created the heaven and the earth, he's Alpha and Omega. Because he understands and is still in control amidst all the chaos in the world, because of that, I'm getting understanding. Because of that, getting understanding means come what may, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to do things his way. Come what may, I'm doing it the way God told me to do it. I'm following his direction. I'm going to be obedient unto his word. Amen. And see, only the Holy Spirit can give you that conviction. You don't get that conviction without accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, convicting you, telling you, oh, you're on the wrong path, Torn. You need to go this way. Don't go that way. You need to listen to the word. You don't need to go against it. And with that conviction of the Holy Spirit, I don't have to know or have all the answers. God's got the answers and God's got me. Amen. That's enough. His grace is sufficient. Amen. But the enemy will plague us. He will plague you. He will plague me with having to know and figure out everything. Gotta know. I just gotta know. And that's the pride of man. And pride cometh before what? A fall, right? Let's go on to verse 8. Verse 8 says, exalt her, exalt wisdom, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver thee. Verse 10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Verse 11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened or hampered. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Verse 13, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass it not by. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. Verse 16, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. That's back to the false teachers. Pulling people away from the word of God. Causing people to fall. for the okey-doke or the lies. Amen. For they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. So wicked ways, violent ways, are the way of the wicked, right? But the path of the just is as the shining light. Who is the light? Our Lord and Savior. Amen. That shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and healeth to all their flesh, and health to all their flesh. Amen. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. That's about that shunning evil, right? Stay away from it. Evil speech, perverse lips, evil speaking. Let thine eyes look right on it, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Keep your eyes on the prize, church. Keep your eyes on God. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. In chapter 5, I'm just going to read verses 1 and 2. It says, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and thy lips may keep knowledge. Amen. Church, the word says to get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. By getting wisdom, by choosing to reverence and fear God, put him above everything, with all of your choosing in life, all the choices that we have, and we talked about get up each day, and that word comes to us, choose you this day who you're going to serve. Every day you've got it up making choices. And God is just basically laying out for us that with all of that, choose life. Choose Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Choose truth over the enemy's lies. Amen. Choose the abundant life that God has for you versus the road of death and destruction. Stay away from evil things and evil habits and practices. Don't do things that you know are wrong or not pleasing to God. I think Pastor talked about that in the Sunday school lesson. When you know better, we got to do better, right? We know better. So we don't let the enemy deceive us or trick us or make us think that we know or that we can just do things our way. We have to live a life dedicated to our Lord and Savior, doing the things that are outlined in his word, staying away from trying to do everything my way and do things on our own. And we have to start trusting in the Lord. Trust in the Lord in all thy ways and lean not to thine own understanding, right? That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Probably one of the first scriptures I learned as a child was that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy ways and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. As a child, I learned and memorized that verse, and I kind of stopped right there. But I look at verse 7, kind of speaks to what we learned in Sunday school and even in this message today. Verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. So it says, I think there's either a semicolon or a colon there. And it says, be not wise in thine own eyes. So what does that mean? That means you need to fear the Lord, reverence him, and depart from evil. Right? That's how you stay out of being wise in your own eyes. This is reverencing God is going to keep you humble in the application of staying away from evil is going to ground your understanding. Amen. So, and it really defines what evil is. What's evil? Being wise in your own eyes and in your own ways of thinking. That's what evil truly is. It's is at the heart of a false prophet, basically. They're thinking that they know everything and that they're above God. Right? So being wise in your own eyes and thinking the way, thinking you know better, is basically the foundation of evil. And it's the same way that the enemy worked. He thought he knew better than God. He wanted to be above God, truly. He wanted to be exalted and reveled. I think y'all talked about that as well, how when people start wanting to receive, I think Sister Kimberly brought out, when people start wanting accolades and wanting attention, that's what all the enemy wanted. He wanted everybody to praise him, basically. They want to take all of the glory from themselves. So when you start deciding from your own perspective and by your own principles instead of God's perspectives and God's principles, that's when you know you're going down the path of destruction. You start giving your own excuses. Well, I feel that I can do this because, or this is okay for me because, versus what does God say? And that's it. Amen? As his sons and daughters, we have to understand what getting wisdom and getting understanding really is truly all about. We know that the opposite of wisdom is foolishness, right? Foolishness is defined as pride, self-reliance, being selfish, being arrogant in our thinking, and all that is a slippery slope, church, that leads to destruction. And therefore, I'll close with this in Proverbs 4 and 7. Get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Have the mindset to reverence God. That's wisdom. And have the action to stay away from evil. That's understanding. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Father God, for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, leading us and guiding us in the way that we should do and be. We praise you, Father God, for your message today of giving us direction and guidance, and help us to be obedient to the calling that you've placed on our lives. Help us, Father God, to be diligent to seeking you and putting you first in all things. We thank you, Father God, for your wisdom. We thank you for your understanding. We thank you for your grace, for your love, and for your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for giving us the way through your Son, Jesus Christ. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen, church.